Chapter 5. The All-Manifestation does not love as humans do. Have you ever had the experience of knowing a certain truth in theory rather than practice for years and years, and then one day suddenly discovering the reality behind that truth and seeing it spread its light? That is how it is when practicing Wu Wei, you experience Tao's inexhaustibility. You suddenly discover that there is a Gnostic activity which adapts itself to your own individual state of being, and the tremendous realization comes to you that this experience is not unique to you alone, that you are not the only one on whom grace is bestowed, but that, in the inexhaustibility of Tao's love, radiations, a bridge of liberation is provided for every individual via a magnetic link with the Gnostic astral forces. Hence, Lao Tzu's jubilant words, "Oh, the depth of it! It is the original father of all things." And then think of all the countless experiences of the process of sanctification itself. Here you stand with your fallen microcosm. Who are you in comparison with the immeasurable glory of Tao? And yet, that immeasurability concerns itself with you. It has discovered you and touches you. It softens its sharpness, simplifies its complexity, tempers its blinding radiance, and makes itself akin to the dust. It makes itself akin to you and to all. It adapts itself to your own individual situation, provided you stand in self-surrender. What a wonderful grace, and also what an insight, what a pure scientific foundation. How else could you be helped? No pupil is ever forced. The Gnosis adapts itself to every situation. It adjusts itself to your pace and remains beside you at every step, provided you are a candidate. Tao always makes itself completely akin to your natural state. It softens its sharpness, simplifies its complexity, and tempers its blinding radiance. No harm can come to you. Suppose you were to discontinue the liberating work. Then Tao would immediately become empty to you again, but it would wait for you in immeasurable love for aeons if necessary. Hence the words, "Oh, how tranquil is Tao, how unfathomable are the depths of its calm, its peace is inviolable." There is a certain sense of urgency in the spiritual school, and we often talk about the idea that the time has come, and this is understandable because this day of manifestation is coming to an end. The Brotherhood would like to rescue you before the night falls. Nevertheless, even in the midst of all this, the tranquility of Tao remains undisturbed, for Tao is eternal. It has been waiting for you for an eternity, and it will go on waiting for you for as long as it takes. There will never be any time in which Tao does not exist. Tao is parentless. Before the highest God was, it was. There are many sublime beings, many illustrious brothers and sisters who are unimaginably far above us in the majesty of their development. But beyond them all is Tao. Above even the greatest of them, Tao is enthroned. That same Tao seeks to become akin to your dust. It tempers its blinding radiance, simplifies its complexity, and softens its sharpness, if only you are willing to be a candidate. So now let us look at the fifth chapter of the Tao Te Ching. The All-Manifestation does not love as humans do. It sees all things as straw clogs. The sage does not love as humans do. He sees the people as straw dogs. The All is like a bellows. It is empty and never exhausted. The more it moves, the more is brought into manifestation. Many words lead only to depletion. It is better to retain self-control. The words, "the All-Manifestation does not love as humans do," may come as rather a shock to you. If they are true, they are likely to overturn your whole way of viewing life and the world. That is indeed the aim of that ancient revelation we know as the Tao Te Ching. When you understand what Lao Tzu really meant to convey, many of your preconceptions will be shot to pieces, for it tears apart the whole paradigm with which humankind has surrounded itself and which has been handed down from generation to generation since time immemorial. You know what it is to love. In one form or radiation or another, you will have experienced the essence of love. Leaving aside all the lower aspects and manifestations of love, there still remains the love you have for your partner in life, for your children, for your family, or possibly for a group, nation, or race. You have your friends for whom you bear feelings of love. You also have feelings for the whole of humankind, which make you want to work for those in need, or to improve the standards of human life in some way, or to work for this school, or some other cause. Without all these aspirations and expressions of the loving human heart and their results, humankind could not live. The only thing that gives ordinary life even a spark of value is the expression of love in whatever way it may be manifested. If such expressions of love were not possible, life could not go on, it would be unbearable and unacceptable. The more evolved a person's character, the more beauty it spreads around it in the form of love and loving behavior. There is no mortal on the face of the earth who does not know love in some form. World literature is filled with proof of it. Love makes the world go round. But just think about it. If we say, love makes the world go round, then in fact we are also saying, love is what keeps the nature of death in existence. But that's awful, surely. Is it really love, the core essence of our being, that keeps the nature of death in existence? Doesn't the Bible say, God is love? Perhaps we accept that the way we love is limited and defiled, but still a caricatural remnant of the original divine love that will change as we walk the path. No, says Tao, the all manifestation does not love as humans do. Full of despair, we look at each other and say, where did we go wrong then? That question has been asked throughout the ages, and we must ask it too. Where did we go wrong? Should our love be sexless or something? Should we make it more universal or more cultivated? No, says Tao, the all manifestation does not love as humans do. And hearing that, all your conceptions about life and the world crumble and you feel utterly confused. What must you do then? Nothing. The essence of your being is as it is, and you cannot do otherwise than react to it in whatever way determined by your psychological makeup. Any attempt to block your innate psychological processes would simply put you in an impossible position. The more normal your behavior in this respect, as an entity of this nature, the better and more pure it will be. But that does not detract from the fact that Tao does not love as humans do. So only one conclusion remains, that when the Bible speaks about love and says, God is love, it must mean something entirely different from what we think it means. Divine love is not super universal or sexless or anything like that. It is something quite different. Let us try to explain.
In the second chapter of the Tao Te Ching, it is said that beauty always brings forth ugliness. We explained that the presence of ugliness is the proof that beauty in this nature order is an illusion, and that the reality of beauty is not to be found here. Similarly, one can also say that love, as we know it, brings forth hate. Hate is the proof that love is an unknown quantity whose reality is not to be found in this world. Our conceptions of it are a delusion. The Bible tells us that love triumphs over all things. Love liberates. Love is the greatest power in the world. This idea has been taken as the theme of countless novels. There are people, families, and groups without number who have made the words love above everything their motto and put it into practice in their lives. In the course of time, this manifestation of love has grown so formidable in its scope, so cultivated and organized, that the vibration and power unleashed by it should surely have liberated our world long ago and elevated it to the level of a divine heaven. For surely no one would admit that love as we know it is a lie, a deception. But this love has not liberated the world. Beauty brings ugliness to the surface, and good brings forth evil, love brings forth hate. Love is an ember, hatred is a fire. Earthly expressions of love are attempts of the ego to maintain itself. They are an attempt of the ego to make its own state of being divine. That is why they arouse antitheses. Where you have embers, you will also have fire. There are temples and centers where many people sit and try to send out loving thoughts and forces in order to elevate humankind, to protect it from harm and put an end to wars. But in reality, these temples and centers are the breeding grounds of war, arousing and propagating hatred. When people are loving towards you, you are pleased. When they approach you with hatred, you will be on your guard. Natural life oscillates between these two extremes. Love and hate keep each other going. If you say, but I do not hate, hatred is unknown to me. We have to tell you that you do know hate. You could not do without it. Just as human love possesses a scale of vibrations with many gradations, so it is with hatred. You have your sympathies and your antipathies. Antipathy is spontaneous aversion, and it is a form of hatred. It is the opposite of sympathy, and hence the opposite of the emotion of natural love. Every day you can observe how you experience resentment or behave in an irritable way because of feelings of indignation or some imagined injustice. At our conference centers, you are sometimes together with a few hundred fellow pupils. Yet there are those among them who deliberately avoid even glancing at each other. You have your indifference and your irritability. These are the antitheses of love. If you observe the totality of your behavior, you will know that nothing human is unfamiliar to you. Hatred can blaze up in fierce tongues of flame, but it can also take the form of a gently smoldering fire. And though in this nature you may be able to extinguish the fiercest flames, you will never put out the smoldering embers. As long as love is necessary in this nature, hatred will be its twin brother. There is no way around it. Anyone who cultivates love is also cultivating hatred. That is a law. Hatred is a means of protection in the nature of death, as essential and as I-central as love. The scales of love and hate are constantly in motion and can never be brought to a standstill. One moment you are amiability itself, the next the scales tip the other way. Look, and you will see this oscillation happening all the time. It is an amazing but inescapable aspect of human nature. What wretches we are, consumed by love and hate. These two mighty fires are the hell into which we have been cast. Alternating one with the other, our love and our hatred, in their many forms, constantly add fuel to the flames of our hell. Do you now see why Tao does not take part in all that? You cannot imagine a hatred-propagating gnosis, but by the same token, neither should you imagine a love-propagating gnosis. The gnosis loves you, but not in keeping with your dialectical interpretation of the word. The all-manifestation does not love as humans do and sees all such perceptions as straw dogs, which in ancient China were used for sacrifices. In the same way, neither does the sage who participates in the all-manifestation love as humans do. He sees the people as straw dogs, as animals. So what does the Bible really mean when it says that God is love? Well, it means something quite different. and if you want to understand anything at all about it, you will need to free yourself of all your preconceptions about love. You must shatter them, just as you must shatter all the other preconceptions that populate your pantheon. The divine manifestation is governed by a certain rhythm, which is present even in the minutest atom. This state of being knows no antitheses, it casts no shadows, and always brings forth itself. Good is not set against evil there, nor beauty against ugliness, nor love against hatred, nor reality against delusion. The Gnosis does not have love, it does not radiate love, it is love. In other words, divine love is not something which has to be aimed at any goal, it does not know conflict, it does not make any effort, it simply is in itself. That is why its power is boundless and can be compared with a bellows. If a bellows is pumped rhythmically, it generates a great deal of power. In the same way, the rhythm of the All Manifestation generates an enormous power, and nothing that conflicts with that rhythm can ever enter it. Knowing this, you will understand better than ever before why the nature of death is so fundamentally irreparable, and you will resolve to waste as few words as possible on that hopelessness. You will not argue with people who do not understand. You will leave the world for what it is. In complete self-control and genuine service to God, you will focus only on that which is capable of assimilating the divine rhythm, and which is of the same nature, the wondrous atom, the rose of the heart, the kingdom not of this world.